Today we'll start with Psalm 1. And it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits at the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by a stream of water that yields fruit in its season. And its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners of the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we are so grateful that we can gather together and worship you in unity and in truth. Lord, I pray that this service, through all aspects of it, the music, the greeting, the message, the fellowship, it'd be a blessing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh boy, it's good to be back in South Dakota again. Every time I go to Montana, I end up working. I even left my chainsaw up there on purpose. Oh, it's great to be back. This morning, we're going to be in the book of Galatians. And it'll be in chapter 5. If that's any surprise to anybody, we'll be in verses 22 through 24. And as I was thinking about this, we're going to be talking about gentleness today. And I was thinking about gentleness. I was thinking about my days working on the garbage truck. I was one of those guys that hung onto the back and threw cans. So I can relate with the guys that are around here that do that kind of work. And while I was doing that, I remember it was on a Thursday route. I seen this pickup that I really wanted to have. If memory serves me right, it was a 75 F-250 Highboy. But it wasn't original. And the originals had the 360s in them. This one had the 460. And I think, boy, I would sure like a truck like that. Of course, his asking price wasn't too bad. You know, $5,000 for a pickup like that wasn't too bad. But I couldn't afford that. I said, boy, all of that horsepower. The only thing you couldn't pass would be a gas station. Whether you're full or whether you're empty. Whether you're hauling or not. I got the privilege to not test drive that one, but another F-250 with a 460 in it. And you know what? I kind of liked it. Until I went 45 miles and used a quarter tank of gas. On empty. Another vehicle, another truck that I really liked was I worked for a distribution company. And my job was to distribute Pepsi to the big businesses in town. Walmart, Albertsons, and a local grocery store, and all the gas stations, and the high school. I got all my work done early, and the guy in the office says, "Hey, Justin, take these cases of," I can't remember what he had me take, some cases of pop somewhere. I said, "Yeah, no problem, I can do that." I said, "Which truck you want me to take?" He said, "I'll just take the office chivy," he calls it. "Take the office chivy." I says, "All right, I can do that." It was a 2500, had a 427 in it, 5-speed. Did you know you could squeal the tires for a block in that truck?
No.
Yes, you do now, yes. Others have claimed you could do it for a block and a half, but I come to an intersection. And couldn't see what was coming. All that horsepower. And yet, it can be a good thing, and it can be a horrible thing. I know my youngest son wants an 84 Camaro that my dad bought, that he's fixing up. It had the 350 in it. It's got the Edelbrock car brand new in it. But for a freshman, I'm like, no. No. I would get hurt driving that. I wouldn't want to do that. And when we think of gentleness, got to remember, it is power under control. All that horsepower under control. So Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And now those who belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." So we're coming to our eighth word. And as we look through this more and more, we see that it's still one fruit displaying all these qualities. And we can't display it. That's the Spirit displaying it through our lives. It's our job to help cultivate that. Now, our English definition of the word gentleness is a quality of being kind, tender, or mild-mannered. Our English gives us the idea that one has to be spineless, one has to be a wimp, so to speak, or weak. But that's not what it's saying in the context. Now, this word in the Greek, protes, is translated to meekness, which is, I think, is a better translation, is meekness. This word gives the idea of submissiveness and a teachable spirit towards God that manifests itself to others. New American Commentary states, "As an expression of the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness is strength under control, power harnessed in loving service and respectful action." One who is gentle will not be forceful. They will not be pushy with others. They will not be arrogant or make others submit to their own will or their ideas. However, gentleness will require one to be stern if need to be. So how is one gentle or meek? Well, our good example is Christ. Jesus was meek. But let's look at it before he was on earth in human form. We'll go back to Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied about Christ in Isaiah 53:7. It says, "He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth." This is a picture of what was happening in the crucifixion. When we recall Jesus being under trial when he was being falsely accused, we remember that he didn't speak a whole lot. He spoke only when he had to speak. When he was being led to be crucified, did he fight? Did he raise a scene? Did he gather the masses to shout injustice? He didn't. He was as quiet as a lamb going to be slaughtered. Now, when I thought about this week, I had flashbacks of my childhood. You're going to get into my head just a little bit. We used to raise Holsteins for food. And we would buy, they were really cheap back in the 90s. They were really cheap. And my dad would buy them two or three at a time. And we would get the pleasure of taking of feeding them. We bucket fed them. And we would do that till we would get them out in the pasture to where they could fend for themselves. We would then halter break them, and they would be on a lead rope, and they would follow us. Then at the age of 2 years old to them, my dad would put it down. So yeah, I got this pet that we got to eat. And as I was thinking about that, yeah, I didn't like it at first when we had the equipment out there. And I'd always go in the house while he shot it and then come out for the fun part of skinning it and hanging it up. But anyways, going off a little bit too far. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking about the tractors going down there, the pickups getting all the supplies ready. Cows didn't know any better. They didn't know what was going on. They said, oh, I get grain for the first time in a long time, just to calm them down. They were quiet. And then they remained quiet after that. And Christ, he went up and he took that cross. He didn't make a scene. He didn't holler out. He's quiet as a lamb going to be slaughtered. Christ was forced to carry his cross. He was told to carry it. And he was determined too. He got to the point to where he could no longer physically do it, to where somebody else had to do it for him. He gave it his all. See, he was submissive to the point of death. He did not defend himself, nor did he seek help. Now, there were many people who were against Christ during this time and mocking him. Jesus did nothing about it. He went quietly on to be crucified. I mean, quietly on, he was in pain, he was in agony. But he wasn't shouting for help. Could he have called for help? Because he was innocent of the charges brought against him? When somebody's innocent, do they try to prove their innocence? Yes. Nobody wants to take the punishment for a crime they didn't commit, especially this one. Crucifixion. He could have. In our minds, he also had the right to. Why punish an innocent man? However, he could not go against the Father's will for his life. During this time, Jesus was in control of his emotions and reactions. He kept them harnessed. He could have reacted a different way. He reacted calmly and peacefully. Jesus went to the cross with great strength, but he did not bring judgment. Rather, he did the will of God. Meekness seems to be this ability to have the strength to suffer for the will of God. For me, this is striking. He's been called the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God. We see one that's full of power, and we see one who's very weak, very dependent upon others, but perfect he was. Here the Lord willingly followed the plan of God. And he did this without rebuking anybody. He followed God, his will, during the trial and crucifixion, and had a sense of mildness about him. Again, he cried out in pain, but he didn't rebuke these men. Rather, what did he do to those men that were crucifying him? He prayed for them, and he forgave them. He didn't yell at his disciples for leaving him behind. What happened when he went to trial? Most of them vanished. Rather, he told one of them to take care of his mother. Jesus did not call down angels to deliver him, but was crucified. He had all that power. He could have gotten off. He could have called angels. He could have done so much, but he had that strength to be mild, to be meek in the midst of adversity. Now we'll look at Matthew 21:5. It says, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." Now this word humble in the ESV is also translated to the word gentle in the NASB and meek in the KJV. See, what's going on here is if we compare these translations together, we see this clear picture of who Christ is and was. Now, coming on a donkey is considered gentle. Nothing threatening about somebody riding a donkey, is there? Not really. It showed gentleness. This animal is non-intimidating, as opposed to a horse. A horse is a bigger animal, full of power, used for showing off, display, glory, and it's used for war. I don't recall of any heroes riding on a donkey slaying the enemies. It's usually horses, not a donkey. By him doing this also showed humility. Here comes Jesus, the King of Kings, not coming into town on a great horse, but on a donkey. Very humble way. And we think about somebody riding into the city on a donkey. We're not threatened by it. The culture wasn't threatened by it. Jesus was a man of meekness. And we see here the Creator, God, not riding in riches. Could he have? To display his authority? He's got authority over all. He could have. But that wasn't the plan. He came as a servant. He came to serve. He came to set the example. Later on is going to be a different story, by the way. It won't be a donkey. He'll come in, set everything right. Next one is 2 Corinthians 10:1. It says, "I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold towards you when I am away." In the second letter that he wrote, Paul is attempting to get the church to consider Christ and his meekness. The question is, what is meant when Paul said that Jesus was meek? It's likely that Paul is thinking of the ongoing ministry of Christ. He who intercedes on our behalf, the one who is working on the believer with great patience. He is gentle with the believer. He still meets their needs and provides grace, although according to his will. Of course, he's thinking of that cross, but he's also thinking of that ongoing promise. Those are some ways that Christ showed gentleness. Again, we are to imitate Christ in all areas of our lives to the best of our abilities. We are to be gentle with one another and to be firm on sound doctrine. And we need to display both in situations. And each situation is unique. First, we'll look at 1 Corinthians 4:21. 1 Corinthians 4:21, it says, "What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod? Or with love and a spirit of gentleness?" Here, Paul, I can see Paul kind of talking like a father. Like, how am I going to come to you? He says that if the Corinthians continue in their sin, he will come and rebuke them. He has the right to, as an apostle. Or they could repent, and he could be gentle. This verse helps us understand the idea of gentleness. And that would be opposite of the rod. He's showing two aspects here. There were some horrible things going on in the Corinthian church. Some pretty gross things going on that he had to correct. His first instinct, of course, would be come out of gentleness, be gentle with him. That's the approach that we need to be thinking. How do I approach this with a gentle heart? And yet deal with the sinful action. See, I believe that that both of these are good. Sometimes we need to be stern, and sometimes we need to be gentle as we look at this. There was so much evil that he had to deal with that sometimes the rod is better. Now, the rod is discipline. So when we come across certain situations, we need to be thinking. Our first initial thought was, how do we handle this gently? How do we approach this person's situation gently and yet not accept the sin? Because if we go to them gently and try to talk to them, and then the next step is for discipline. The next step is discipline if the gentle approach doesn't work. And when it comes to the church, meekness should be shown more than harshness. We must be mild, even in the face of our enemies, and follow God's will. It's having that self-control, not to overreact. Sometimes we have to take time to think about and to process it. See, when I think about gentleness, I think about one who does not let the situation take control. I've heard this said, and I like, and I try to live by this. One who is the calmest in the room and does not act out of impulse shows gentleness. The calmest in the room. Next one I want to look at is Ephesians 4:2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace. Now we see that gentleness is in connection with tolerance and love. The idea is that one is able to have the strength to talk to a person with tenderness. And with tenderness should come compassion. And that the idea is that one should not be harsh, and that the believer is to deal with each other with a tender way. Now, if we've looked previously, sometimes there's a need for the rod. And that word tolerance now kind of has a different meaning today, doesn't it? When you guys hear the word tolerance, you think, well, just let them be the way they are, right? It's okay, you should accept that, no matter what it is. So, it's basically saying that you need to tolerate sin. You need to say, well, you need to tolerate this sin, but don't tolerate that sin. Hmm. I know it's a popular movement today that the... I hate to even bring this up, but there are some churches who say, well, you know, this sin is going to be okay, or we're going to tolerate this type of sin, and what they're going for is the act of homosexual, adultery, fornication. We're going to just clump all those together. We need to be okay with this sin, because we're going to show love to people, but we need to be firm on this, because on these guys, because they're stealing, and that's even worse than what's over here. Is that what the Bible says? One sin? No. No, they need to be treated all. Either you're going to accept all sin and say, okay, live as you want, live as your own desire. Or you're going to stand firm on what God says and call a sin a sin. And when you, and out of gentleness, calm down. Out of gentleness, you're going to go to this person and say, hey, I love you. What the heck are you thinking? However you do it. No matter what the sin is, that's gentleness. Now, who in here is perfect? Oh, good. Good deal. So we're all a bunch of sinners sometimes, huh? Yes. Yes, we sin sometimes. But it's wanting a desire to grow closer to God and to work through those sins and those convictions that we need to be focusing on. But those who are okay with sin and tolerate it to an extent to where they say, oh, they're okay over here. They're fine. No, they're not. But we, as Christians, love them more because we don't want to see them go that way. We want to help correct them. And we get to the point sometimes where we try to help them. What's our next step? Discipline. Sometimes you have to cast them out. You have to cast them out. There's nothing else that you can do. You say, God, you're using me to help these people. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to have to turn them over to you, and you do something. You help them. And God helps them in his own unique way. And when they repent is when we see that, oh, we can go to them. We can have them back in our lives and be a part of them. But we can't be accepting of it, but we still need to love them. And so there's a fine line with that, and God, and that's also part of discernment. We need to have that discernment on know when to do the right things, know what steps to take. And of course, that comes from God's word, being in it, praying, reading his word, growing closer to him. And he will guide us. He will guide us. He will help us to be gentle. He will help us to be loving. He will help us to produce joy, to produce kindness, and all the other ones. We've only got one more week of the fruit of the Spirit, which is next week. Now, gentleness. I was talking to another pastor about gentleness. And we kind of had the same idea. He said, when I think of the fruit of the Spirit, I actually think back to the Victorian literature. The ideal gentleman, you know the guy I'm talking about with the English accent, right? The guy that can insult you, but he's very polite about it. That kind of person. The man who is equal parts firm in policy, but yet forgiving. A man who is willing to say things politely, and he's worried not to injure or tarnish the reputation of another. He goes on to say, even when they fight, it is done with tea and the nicest of language as possible. They say things like, good day, sir. Shall I shoot you today or tomorrow? I do hope it's a beautiful morning. Shall I bring tea? I will also lend you my best gun. Good day, sir. See, and in that situation, being in control, not to overreact, being calm, kind, and gentle. I discourage violence. There. As for followers of Christ, we are to be gentle. Even when you're, even while you're getting kicked while you're down, be gentle. We need to take the hard times and trust in God. When we do this, God will allow us to know when to stand firm. He'll also allow us to know when to take a beating. When we spend time with Christ and His Word, then gentleness will come. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 tells us, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." As we continue on, let's focus on gentleness. What does it mean? Being in control. And we'll get into being in control next week. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. And Lord, it's a humbling thought knowing what your Son, Jesus Christ, did. That He willingly paid for our sins. And Lord, even while your word says, even while we were against you, you still sent your Son to pay for our sins so we can have that relationship with you. What a humbling thought. What you have done for your enemies. You love us and you want us to call on you. And Lord, if there's anybody here today that's not called on you as their personal Lord and Savior, I ask that you draw near to them, open up their hearts and their minds to who you are. That you are the only way to salvation, to eternal life with you. That through your bloodshed, one can be saved. I pray that you speak to that person. Draw them near to you. And Lord, for all those who call on you as Lord and Savior, I ask that you encourage us, that you speak clearly to us, because outside these doors here is the mission field. Lord, we have our work cut out, but you're right there with us. Help us to be more dependent upon you. Help us to take our focus off of ourselves and what we can't do. Lord, through you, we can do mighty things when we trust you. Help us to remember any situation. Help us to think of you. Help us to think about how to be gentle, how to be loving, and how to be stern when we need to be. Guide our actions, guide our conversations. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You're dismissed.